Honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Coming in for a landing with 92-year-old Jimmy Weldon, who was a licensed pilot for nearly 70 years until giving up that pursuit just within the last year. He has not stopped sharing the entertaining duck voices that made him famous or his infectious patriotism. If you heard him perform Old Glory, a tribute to our flag, on our last episode, you know what I'm talking about. And here's another example for you.
You know, young leaders, tomorrow, when those terrorists struck New York, I thank God they didn't take down one thing. That's the Statue of Liberty. As long as that gentlewoman stands in the harbor holding that torch, the vacancy lamp is lit and the welcome mat is out. But sadly today, many Americans think of immigration as being the great evil. I'm going back over 200 years ago when the influx of men and women from every nation on the face of this earth produced that incredible interwoven patchwork quilt that is the texture of our society. It's indeed our strength. Many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence weren't born here, they came here. When they realized how sweet freedom tasted, they were willing to put their names on that document, pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. No, America is not, as some would say, an elevator that once you enter, you want the doors to close. If you need proof of this, just read what's on the base of our Statue of Liberty. Many can quote it, "Give me your tired, you poor, you huddled masses, yearn to breathe free." But if that's all you know, you don't know it. That's just the third verse. A wonderful Jewish lady named Emma Lazarus wanted to help raise money to build a pedestal. The French gave us a statue, we had to build a base. When you realize the size of the statue, the base had to be enormous. School children contributed pennies. Emma Lazarus contributed a poem. And when she realized the size of the statue, she was reminded of another statue in another harbor at another time, the fabled Colossus of Rhodes. You see, young leaders, guarding the harbor of Greece was a giant warrior whose open legs spanned the water. It was so big it was visible 5 miles at sea. It lasted 59 years until an earthquake took it down. But the unusual thing about this warrior held a torch high in the air, and the torch was to keep people away. Emma Lazarus compares our statue with that Greek statue. She calls ours the New Colossus. Listen to these words. They're so powerful, so filled with electricity, so dynamic. By the time I get to the third verse, son, it will make more sense than you ever knew. These are all the words on the base of our Statue of Liberty. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name is Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridge harbor where twin cities frame. "Keep ancient lands your storied pomp," cries she, with silent lips. "Give me, you're tired, you're poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." No, young people, they don't hate us around the world. They just don't know why we love our great country, our form of government. I'm indeed proud to be an American. God bless America.
If you want to see the conviction in his face as he shared those words, check out the video on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. His personal website is jimmyweldon.com, and I also have the links up for you at hometownheroesradio.com.
I've got a few more questions for you. One with regard to World War II. So you and your two brothers, you're all World War II veterans. You're three of the more than 16 million Americans who wore a uniform in World War II. When you go and talk, or if a young person who wasn't alive says, "What was that all about? Why did you guys go overseas? What were you fighting for?" Do you have an answer for that? Can you put that in perspective?
We went because it meant something. We were fighting for our country. I've got a thing now called The Pirate Saves America. It's a new DVD. And I think about how in our War of 1812, how this is talks about it and how it ends. And I think about how the British were fighting for an empire, but we were fighting for our freedom. Freedom. We got a thing that says freedom is not free.
Amen. You know what the last words of every show of Hometown Heroes are? That this show that you're on?
No.
Those are the last words that I say every show. Freedom is not free.
Oh, amen.
You got me. But I didn't mean to interrupt. Keep
going. No. Go ahead. No, I want to hear from you. You're giving me ammunition. You know what I'm saying?
You're preaching the truth there. So this pirate that saved America.
Yeah, this is a story about Jean Lafitte and how what happened and that the young people don't even know. And it's like, golly Moses. So I think about our young people and said, what are we going to do? The flag of Iwo Jima, the one that was planted on the moon. Are our young people going to follow that flag? When someone sings us our national anthem and belts it out like some private song for themselves, this hurts. Mm. I remember when, come on, Jimmy, what's about with you? When she grabbed her by and said, oh, say, can you see?
Roseanne.
Oh, golly. Thought, my land, what is this? They don't realize it. When a young man doesn't even know what the symbol of our flag really means, and that to think that they, do you know, Paul, that only less than 25% of our graduating students from high school know that George Washington was the first president of the United States of America? Mm. Now you think about what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about prayer for our country. Man, we need it like never before.
Here's a number for you, 406,000. That's how many Americans died in World War II. You and your brothers all came home from the war. What kind of perspective do you have for those who didn't? And have you ever thought, you know, I could have been one of those. I could have been one of the more than 406,000 who never made it home.
Oh, yeah. I close with prayer at our American Legion in every meeting because I'm the chaplain emeritus. And I'm always talking about, I say, Father, we thank you so much for those heroes that are represented by that MIA flag draped over that empty chair. They're with you right now in post everlasting. We'll all be together someday, but thank you. They gave their all that we can be free right here tonight as we're standing together in our little building, the American Legion. That's right. You just think it's
kind of a humbling thought.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it. How blessed we are to live in a country, greatest that was ever designed. And yet, if we're not careful, we'll lose it. I was thinking about what one of the girls said the other night in our speech contest with American Legion. Said, what, Benjamin Franklin asked him, what kind of a country do you have? And he said, well, you have a republic, if you can keep it. In other words, it's up to us. We can't let our freedoms we take for granted, and yet we don't really realize how blessed we are. Paul, you're doing a great job. I mean, I thank you for letting me be on your program. But
well, the thanks go to you. I know everyone's been real entertained here. I have thought of a couple more questions for you. One, going all the way back to 70 years ago, did you lose any buddies in the war, either anybody from back home or anyone you had trained with or served with?
Yeah, in fact, one of my children students that I grew up with at Camp Swift, Texas, he ran over to when we first went in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
He ran over to this big place where the bomb had gone off. They'd set it off, but something was still there, and they blew up another one. He died in it just by running over there to be one of the first ones to see what had happened when it detonated a bomb, mm-hmm. learning how to work with the combat engineers.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, saying, by land.
Yeah.
How
well, doesn't that tell you that the same thing could have happened to you?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why I'm saying you've got, how blessed, how thankful we need to be.
Have you ever been, you know, they didn't build it till 2004, long overdue, and it took World War II veterans themselves donating $190 million to build it. But have you been to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C.?
Thank you for asking me. Pat Ogle, who was the head of the Bulldog Foundation for years.
In Fresno.
Is one of my dearest friends. He has begged me to go. I said, Pat, I don't want to go. What's amazing, I'm a pilot, and I've been flying all my life, and I love flying. But with my inability to walk like I really would like to, is just I'm not really interested in going. Isn't that a shame? to say that?
Well, can I twist your arm a little bit?
Talk to me.
Pat's a friend of mine too, and what he's talking about is it's a thing called Honor Flight. It's going all over the country. And
right.
We've got wheelchairs for anybody who needs them, and those who even don't think they do. We get a guardian for every veteran. When you go in a group of about 70 veterans. You see the World War II Memorial, the Korean War Memorial, the Vietnam Memorial, a bunch of other sites. It's amazing the spontaneous things that happen. And the people, maybe from this country, maybe from other countries, who will see you wearing that hat that says World War II veteran and come up and shake your hand and say, thank you for serving our country.
Oh, I know. I know what you're saying.
And I'm just imagining you and the audiences that would start to gather around you as you start to tell some of your stories or maybe even do your voices. I bet you might have a good time. And if you're interested, I'll get you an application and we'll get you there to Washington. You don't even have to fly the plane.
No. Oh, bless your heart, Paul. Thank you.
But yeah, we do have a dinner where we have a talent show. And any of the veterans who have special talents, if they play an instrument or, you know, they do magic tricks, they have to come up and show those talents. So I don't know if you could handle having to entertain a crowd of your fellow World War II veterans, but we might have to put you into service that way.
Does a bear live in the woods? Oh, that would thrill me, sure enough. Just the thoughts of having to go to the airport and get on that. Yeah, isn't that amazing?
And it's a charter plane where you don't have to switch planes, and every one of your needs is cared for. But I'll stop giving you my sales pitch. If you want to go, we'll get you there, and there'll be a big crowd waiting for you. The way the Central Valley of California, where I live, has responded to this has been amazing, and it's happening all over the country. So it's a pretty neat experience.
Yeah,
I'd love to get you there.
At the American Legion post right where I am now, yeah. Several of the guys have gone and said, Jimmy, you don't understand. You can't even believe how good it is. I said, yeah, I can. But isn't that awful?
Well, we'll keep working on you. No pressure. I said, we'll make you entertain. You know, the thing is, with the Honor Flight program, we won't take a penny from any veteran. He has to accept this trip free of charge. You paid for it long ago by your service to our country. But in your case, we would make you entertain the other guys. I mean, we'd be wasting your talents if we didn't.
golly.
I don't want to forget to say thank you for serving our country. And thank you for telling us about it and for sharing your passion for this country and for the flag and for patriotism. When you think back on your experience in the Army and how different your life would have been, I mean, you wouldn't have met your wife, right? What are you most thankful for? Or what are you most proud of with having served your country the way you did?
I think I'm most proud of my parents
for
having brought me up the way they did and the background of having the faith that I have, not only in our country, but each other. Yeah, it's time. The only thing which we have no control, we can only spend it. We have to spend it wisely. As I said to you before, perhaps I should go there to that role.
I think you'd love it, but I'm biased. And is there anything else that I didn't ask you about that you think people ought to know?
No. Just what an honor just that you've given me already. Father, thank you for this time. It seemed like a moment ago, Paul came in, now it's time to say goodbye. Bless his work, it's what he's doing with heroes. World War II. We owe you so much, we give you praise and glory forever, Father. Amen.
You know, I almost left that last part out of our broadcast today because it was kind of a personal moment, but I left it in because I figured it was just another example of how Jimmy Weldon can simultaneously be the ultimate performer but also the authentic patriot and genuine friend that anyone who's ever met him knows him to be. Again, for more information, go to hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.